This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister and co-pilot, Mary. How are you doing, Mary Bear?
Oh, I'm doing good, Kev. How about you?
I'm doing good. And the holidays are gone. New Year's, Christmas, and this is actually the first time in like 3 weeks that we've
done
it. Because we recorded a bunch. We put a bunch in the can because of the holidays, and I was going away on a trip, and we had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So we kind of like, you know, pre-recorded a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, I don't think we've recorded together since before Christmas.
Yeah, so here we are. It's early January.
Everything's fresh. I haven't seen him since Christmas, guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of like re-energized. Like when I was watching these episodes, like at first I was like, oh, God, I got to fucking take notes. Like I kind of got out of your routine.
Yeah.
But now like once after the second viewing of the episodes, I was back in it. I was excited today to record. So we're going to do it. This week, we're talking about The Office still, as we will be for eons to come.
Yeah, I mean, we're rounding out. We're towards the tail end of season four.
Next week is the finale.
Yeah.
So, season four, episodes 11 and 12 this week.
Yes.
Night Out and what's the second
one? Did I Stutter?
That's right. So, before we jump into those, there's a few housekeeping. The first thing, Mary's going to recap what we covered last week.
Absolutely, dude. So, episode 9 was Dinner Party. Hashtag best episode ever.
It was all right.
All right.
Good.
This is my favorite.
It was above average.
I scored it a 5.0. Favorite episode. Most cringeworthy. Amazing. Just, I laugh at everything. It's purely carnal. Essentially, Michael and Jan have a dinner party hosting Jim, Pam, Andy, and Angela. I almost called them
Angie is their name. Yeah.
Angie is the couple name. And then Dwight and his former babysitter slash lover crash. And Jan and Michael just basically make everybody feel as humanly uncomfortable as possible.
And they have a big blow up.
Yeah, they do. That's what she said! and we got so many gems, like that one night by the hunter.
Yeah, the hunted.
The hunted.
Yes.
We find out that Michael has soft teeth.
Mm-hmm. They record all their sexcapades.
Yes. Michael sleeps on a
bench.
A bench at the bottom of the bed. You know, like, there's so many good things in this episode, like, awesome points, like, just factoids, I guess, about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it ends up with the police getting called because Jan and Michael scream it out, and Michael leaves with Dwight.
Yes.
And then we move on to the dismal episode that was Chair Model.
Horrible, horrible episode. I don't even want to recap.
Michael's trying to get back out there and dating, and
and in so doing, he breaks the heart of Pam's landlady.
She looked so nice.
She was sweet. Pam said 95 times during the episode.
Yeah.
She's sweet.
She's really sweet.
Michael's a dick to her. He falls in love with a chair model in the office catalog.
And then we find out that the chair model was drunk and drove into an airplane hangar and died.
So Michael and Dwight sing American Pie at her grave.
Yeah.
That episode sucked.
Oh, and Pam tells Jim that she won't move in with anybody unless she's engaged, because that worked out well the last time. And then we find out that Jim bought a ring a week after they started dating.
Yep.
So now it's just waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was some bullshit about the five families.
It wasn't bullshit. It's the only good part of the episode.
Office.
But I mean,
Kevin
that's it.
Had a win. It felt good to win one.
I liked it.
No, but Kevin Malone.
No, that's what I mean. I liked it. I liked Kevin getting above. You know, he punched above his weight.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
So, before we jump into this week's episodes, I want to go back to Dinner Party. Because this one has so much fucking fan, like, love. Like, I actually went in and researched some pages and stuff. And I want to make some things clear.
I think, like, 98% of the fan base, I'll give 2% to you, but 98% of the fan base, this is one of the top episodes of the entire series.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
And I'm not taking that back.
And that's like your opinion,
man. It totally is. And
you're part of the 2%.
I'm not taking it back. I don't think it's a top, like, of what we've seen so far through four seasons, it's maybe outside the top 10, honestly, for me. Like, it's not that high. But I want to make it clear that, because I was re-listening to our cast, and
harsh, man.
I sounded very hostile towards it.
You did.
And I want to, like, kind of explain in a way that would probably make more sense to you.
Okay.
Why I feel the way I do about that episode. Why it didn't work for me.
Okay.
And I'm going to analogies are never perfect, but they kind of are a framework for the thought process so you, to better understand.
Thank you for mansplaining fucking analogies to you today.
I know. Jesus but I'm just letting everybody know, yeah. But anyway, so what I would liken this episode in context with the rest of the series is Batman. Now, growing up, the Burton Batmans and the Christopher Nolan Batmans, huge fan. Love mm-hmm. them. They take themselves seriously. And they're, like, great, serious movies. They're dramas. For something that's, like,
never
crazy.
Never rub another man's rhubarb. Yeah.
For something that's crazy, with a multimillionaire wearing a bat suit and beating up, like, physically and mentally deformed human beings. Yeah. Like, it's a crazy premise, but these movies take it seriously, and they produce great movies. Like, yeah. they're awesome. You're into them. Great action. Great characters. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the other side. Batman and Robin and, like, the 60s Adam
they
West
put
Batman.
Nipples on the bat suit.
Yeah, and, like, 60s Adam West Batman. I love both of them. I think they're the greatest.
Get me the shark repellent.
Because they don't take themselves seriously. Yeah. And it's all tongue-in-cheek, and it's fun, and it's outlandish, and it's crazy. And they're not the same thing. They are the same, like, basis.
It's the same basis, but it's
different takes. And each of them are 180 degrees away from each other.
Yeah.
But they work, and they're awesome. Then there's Batman Forever. Okay? Where Val Kilmer plays like this straight Bruce Wayne and Batman, and then you have Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones are like...
Would you like to go to the circus?
Yeah, it's like, like half the movie is serious, but then like Joel Schumacher has like these like buildings and like everybody's like wearing neon and shit, yeah. and it's like this campy movie. Like, it doesn't know what it wants to be, and it's not successful to a lot of viewers because they didn't pick a lane.
Yeah.
And I think watching Dinner Party, I looked at it and I got that Batman Forever vibe because I feel like it could have been crazy, crazier, and it also could have been serious. And the reason I say, like, because I know at the end of last week's episode, I was like, this ended on a really sour note for a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
However, they could do a straight, like, when we go back to the Money episode,
yeah.
the last 10 minutes of that are super serious.
Yeah.
And the actors deliver, the material delivers, like, it all works. And you... And Michael's bankrupt, and Dwight has his heart broken, but you end the episode on a, like, you feel good.
That because one you, night.
You feel good because the characters bared their soul, and you feel like you got in, you felt with them. You kind of,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I can understand what you're saying.
You connected with them. At the end, Dinner Party ends just sour. And so it doesn't play it totally straight because they try to, like, make it funny with That's What She Said and the sex tripod and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they throw this outlandish stuff in there. But then, like, the funny stuff to me wasn't that funny. So it was like Batman Forever for me where, like, it had pieces here and there that were good and it was above average. I thought it was a good episode. I just don't think it's, like, amazing. I don't think it's 5 stars. But I just want to, like, say that, like, maybe it just didn't work for me because I don't feel like they picked a lane to go with. And also the fact that there was no palate cleanser for that episode. That it was suffocating with just one storyline for 22 minutes. But that I just wanted to get that out there. It's just I didn't feel fulfilled as a fan watching because I don't think it was that funny. But they didn't turn around and make it like a serious take either.
So I have a question. What could have made it more insane for you?
I don't know. And that's the thing is like I'm thinking
thing.
About.
Like, maybe how do you think that could get more
maybe
insane?
Maybe that's the only way they could have done it, but
like,
it wasn't that funny.
They're playing passive aggressive the entire night. You can see from the moment that Pam and Jim walked through the door,
just,
the cracks.
But it just
that
wasn't
it was
funny.
A facade. Oh my God.
But we all knew it was a facade. Everybody knew it was
but
a facade.
It was hilarious.
Hilarious
but no,
is
but
strong.
Here's the thing. Michael and Jan thought that the facade was working.
Because Michael's stupid.
Jan did too, though.
Dad.
Up until the point where she was like, babe, you need to like...
I don't know. I know is like I watched it again. I actually went and watched it again, and it's not that funny. It's not like laugh out loud funny. It's funny.
I laughed out loud the whole time.
This is one that I think is going to be one of our... Dividing lines.
One of our dividing lines.
I think because...
no, this is the divided line, dude.
Really?
I'm not moving off my stance. This
I'm not asking...
My,
no, that's
no,
the thing.
I,
I'm not
I
asking
know,
you
but
to.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't
like,
care. You like
I
it.
I respect the fact that you're not moving off of your stance as you respect the way that I'm not moving
yeah.
off of mine. This will forever be one of my favorite episodes of the series.
I just felt like I needed to explain myself better because some people said some things to me.
Yeah, well, you know, you came off as very pompous.
I wasn't pompous. I wasn't pompous. If anything, I was passionate. I was really passionate about like explaining why that episode just didn't work when it works for so many others. Because
you got a different sense of humor. You thought it was the Val Kilmer.
No, it's not a different sense of humor. I've given like 18 fucking 5-star episodes in this show.
No, I mean to that style, though. Like,
it's not even that style because it works.
Saying, but what I'm saying is, like, literally, I'm going to go out on an even longer limb and say 95% of the Office fan base love that episode. 5% don't. So maybe that just wasn't your brand of insanity.
More Ben Franklin. That's what that episode needed. More
well,
Ben
y'all
Franklin.
Are very saucy.
So now that we're done hashing that one out, I mean, that's probably one that we're going to go back to in like season six. I almost choked there.
Yeah, you did.
But,
that's going to come out in our season review.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. The finale next week when we wrap everything up, it's going to go back to that. We're going to rehash this fucking argument. But before that, we are here. We're doing episode 11, Night Out.
Yes.
And
take it away, dude.
Yeah. The cold open, Michael comes into the office. He has gum in his hair. And it happened because he saw something shiny under Stanley's car on his way in and got down to pick it up and he got gum in his hair.
Where did the gum come from?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was, I'm thinking he was crawling and he got his head on the ground. So he has this gum in his hair and it turned out it was tin foil. He thought it was a quarter. So Dwight basically runs in, gets the good peanut butter out of the
break room.
And we go into Michael's office and he's like, putting it into his head.
He's massaging
it. Yeah, like a spa treatment. Michael's head is covered in peanut butter. And Dwight is like massaging his scalp to get the gum.
And then he licks it and he's like, oh, that is good. A lot of calories, though. Like, what the fuck?
So the show proper opens now with a Michael talking head.
Can
I just
say, like, the cold open, it made me smile.
Yeah, it was funny.
It made me laugh out loud, but it made me, like,
it was funny because
I had a little smirk on my face, like, oh, that's clever.
It fit with all the characters.
Yeah.
And it was a good sight gag.
Yeah.
I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, because sometimes the cold opens don't work that well.
No, we talked about one recently.
Yeah.
I forget what one it was. Oh, the last week when they walked to work.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, they saw a dog eating a chicken.
Yeah.
But
this one, like, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm good with that.
So the show opens with Michael that's talking head. And he talks about how dating has not been going well. He says men crave beauty, and he has not met a woman who has Cindy Crawford's qualities.
Dear God.
So, accounting is upset, and it turns out, because we go to a talking head of Ryan, he explains that he's having everybody work a Saturday so that they can re-enter sales into the website, which they should have done if the website was working. Ryan's awesome in this episode.
So, he's a douche in this
I know,
episode.
He's so great, though. So he shows up, and he's, you know, throws his bag, and my favorite branch! And you immediately see, like, he has circles under his eyes, his hair is no longer gelled, and, like, the beard is more of, like,
and it's, like, overgrown.
It's,
like, it's grown over his ears.
Yeah, it's like a 5 o'clock shadow now, more so than a beard.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look well.
No.
But he's in the break room, and Jim wants to make a suggestion to him. And Ryan, you know, about the website and customer service. And Ryan says, oh, he already knows about it because he went to David Wallace with it. And he smiles and just says, watch your back, Jim.
Yeah.
Because Jim went over his helmet. You know, that's what happened. So now everybody's in the conference room. And Ryan is fielding questions about Dunder Mifflin Infinity. And Dwight is pissed because he's forced to come in on a Saturday to pretend that the website made sales that he did. And then Stanley comes up and says he's pissed because he's not seeing commissions for helping customers with the website. And Ryan says, that's a good point. We won't have these problems with Dunder Mifflin Infinity 2.0. And he, like, punches.
He does.
And Stanley says, well, when's that going to be? And he goes, TBD. So Phyllis raises a question about police.
Yeah.
And Ryan's like, it's taken care of. And there's a talking head where he says, sexual predators infiltrated the social networking feature. So then we go back to the room, and Kelly says, if I created a website with this many problems, I'd kill myself. Which Ryan says, well, do you have a question, Kelly? And she goes, yeah, first of all, how dare you?
Boy, did you notice what Creed said? They're like, talk about the pedophiles on the website. Mm-hmm. He goes, I don't know what they're so upset about. I like the website.
Creed's the man. So Michael gets up and starts doing like a sarcastic slow clap for Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, a month ago, we would be afraid of being molested or having our identity stolen. But at TBD, it'll all be fixed. Now, after the meeting, Michael hugs Ryan very aggressively.
Yeah.
He just
wants human contact at this point.
He whispers to him, I need a girlfriend so bad. And Ryan's like, get off me. So he asked him about girls, and Ryan says that the girls in New York clubs are unreal.
Yeah, you should see these girls, man.
Oh, God. So Jim now is in Michael's office, and Michael is peering out his window, mm-hmm. and all he says is, would you have sex with Meredith?
Do you think she'd keep it quiet? Yeah,
and Jim gets uncomfortable and goes to leave.
I'm gonna leave now.
And Michael's quote, it's not the horniness, it's the loneliness. And he says he wants to go clubbing in New York with Ryan, and Jim's like, no.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, so Michael goes out, he grabs Dwight.
But Michael forgets that he and Pam are together.
He's like, I'm with Pam. That's still going on? Yeah. Like, he has no idea. So Michael goes out to get Dwight, and Andy wants to go. And he says, I'm in some serious need of some bro time. Old Ball and Chain has been a lot more chain than ball lately. I don't even know.
There's so many different ways to take that, and yeah. I don't think he means any of
them. Yeah, and Angela's just on the side. She's like, I'm right here. So, you know, Dwight says, three is an unlucky number. We'll be cursed. So Michael says, no curse. Singles only. Let's go. Me and Dwight. And they head out. So on the way out, Michael says he's going to get laid with Dwight, like, giggles and goes, with sex!
Oh, my God. So weird.
After they leave, Jim goes up to Pam, and he says they can stay late and get everything done tonight rather than come in tomorrow on their day off. And it turns out everyone's on board with that. So we go. We're in New York City now. And Mike says that Ryan's assistant has been said he'd be at Prerogative tonight. Which, I gotta say, club names are the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing.
On the Scott Van Pelt...
Eclipse.
Well, the Scott Van Pelt show on ESPN, they used to do a thing where they'd make up club names like Mist with a Y. Or Space with like an S instead of a C.
Oh, my
shit.
God.
And like, the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. Club Dump. Would you go to Dump?
No.
So they find Ryan and his friend, which is a main part of this episode.
Did you notice what Dwight said when they walked into the club, though?
These women look like white slaves.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, I imagine what he meant was they all look like Carrie Fisher in Return of the
Jedi.
That's
what I was thinking. Princess Leia in her metal bikini.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming he was going
for.
That's
what I'm hoping. That's what he was going for.
But, so Ryan turns around, and he's psyched to see them. Mm-hmm. And, like, even Mike is, like, shocked. He's like, it's me and Dwight.
Yeah, it's Michael and Dwight. You know who we are.
But Ryan's like, yeah! So we go back to Scranton, and it's 9 p.m., and everyone's done. They go outside to get to their cars, and the parking lot gate is chained shut.
Yeah.
And Pam locked the office as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go back in the vestibule, but Pam does a talking head where she says there's a master and a spare key, and Dwight has both. When I asked him, Dwight, what if something happens to you? He said, if anything happens to me, you'll already be dead for weeks.
So that's dark. Amazing.
That's like something from a horror movie. So Mike and Dwight meet Troy, which is Ryan's diminutive friend. And
well, I'm trying to think, like, so say Kelly is like 5'5", 5'6". Ryan's the same height as
Ryan towers over this guy. This guy's like 4'9".
Yeah, this guy is legit. He's like not 5 inches to 6 inches shorter.
He's not like a legit
Ryan
dwarf.
Howard.
He's just a really short guy.
Yeah.
And Dwight says he resembles a Tolkien character. And Ryan tries to do damage control. He's like, yeah, he's a real banking wizard. Mm-hmm. And Dwight just goes, no, a hobbit.
Yeah.
So a waitress comes over and Michael wants to order chicken fingers. I don't know why, it's just hilarious. And instead...
Oh, sorry, oh, I'm actually way off.
What's up?
BJ Novak is 5'9".
He doesn't come across that way on the show
no.
at all.
So then this guy is probably like 5'3".
Yeah, he's
5'4".
Like, if you ever saw Glenn Danzig in person, like, I imagine that's what this is like. Because that was the most disappointing optic I ever saw at a concert. I'm like, oh, Danzig, he's all like big and like, oh, mother! And then like I went to see him live and I'm like, oh, shit, he looks like the little skater boys. Like, oh, shit. But, so Michael, instead of getting a drink, he gets a cup of olives and one with maraschino cherries.
Yep.
So go back to the office, and they're trying to figure out the security guard's number, and Toby has it. And he's all like, oh, wow, this is crazy. That's
when
great.
I put it in, I thought, why would you ever use that?
He's such
but
a
it's a good thing I did.
He's such a putz.
And Pam is like, oh, my God, Toby, you're the best.
And of course,
thanks
he lights
so
up. He lights up and chubs up.
Oh,
and
that's such a bad image.
So Jim does the dumbest thing. He calls the number, and then he goes, what's his name?
Yeah.
And as the phone is ringing, they're trying to figure out, people are throwing out names.
And Creed was right.
Creed got it right, Hank. But Jim doesn't
know his name.
Jim doesn't believe
else.
Him. So he just answers the phone and goes, hey, chief. And then they have an awkward conversation where Jim actually says, you're the African-American guy, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes, then he just, like, realizes he's not getting anywhere. He just goes, who I got here?
Yep.
So we go back to New York, and Ryan and Troy are talking to Dwight about Beats. And the camera goes in, and, like, Ryan's hand is, like, jittery.
Oh, my God.
It's all over. He's like Gene Wilder in Blazing Saddles when he holds the fucking hand up. And his hand's going all, he's jittery, and they're talking about weevils and shit.
Yep. Weevils, which are actually a beetle.
Yeah. That eat through the beet or something, he said? Yeah. Yeah, bull weevils. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, no, weevils are real. I looked it up. They're actual beetles that go in and destroy crops.
Ryan's out of his mind here. Oh my God. Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh my God. And Troy is like,
weevils,
insane.
What a crazy word.
Yeah. So Ryan goes to the bathroom and Dwight's like, you've already gone a bunch of times. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm okay. He goes, maybe you have a bladder infection. So Dwight orders
we'll get you a cranberry.
Cranberry and vodka. So Hank, the security guard, is on the phone. He says he'll be there in about an hour. And everybody's just like, oh, we got to wait longer. So they agree to give him a big tip at Christmas and realize he didn't get one last year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, well, who was supposed to do it? Jim was in charge of collecting. So they all look at Jim and he's like, fucked up on that one too.
Yep.
So then Andy goes, by a show of hands, who thinks we're the better couple? And everybody starts raising their hands.
And Pam just goes, Phyllis.
Yeah, she's like so disappointed in Phyllis. So Michael is now talking to a woman. And she's much younger than him.
A woman. I'm sorry.
She's of age. She's a woman.
No, she is, but she's... When you say woman, you have a connotation of, like, it's a woman. This girl...
Okay, here's a girl who's... A woman who's probably 22.
Maybe. Especially,
maybe, like, at NYU or something like that. Yeah.
She's a child compared to Michael.
Yeah, she's very young. And she doesn't get his Back to the Future reference for a tattoo.
Exactly.
Yeah. And,
But think about it, this is, what, 2008? Yeah. 2009.
So,
like,
I mean, if she's 20, like, she should have heard of it. She had to have heard of it.
Right?
So, she must not have had any brothers.
Seriously.
So, she leaves when she finds out Michael's in his 40s.
Well, he wants to get a tramp stamp.
So, Michael goes to Ryan, and this is the line of the episode. This place is like a sexy preschool, he says.
Oh, my God.
So, Ryan says they'll go to a place where they can meet older women. And he smashes his beer bottle and goes, yeah!
Fuck it up.
And he just, oh, my God, he's so badass. He's so great. So, they're in line at another club, and Dwight is behind these large Amazonian Amazonian women.
That's what he calls them.
And he finds out they're the varsity women's New Jersey State basketball team. They just won, like, a tournament. And, he just says under his breath, Amazons. But he smiles. He's one of those guys, like, did you ever
see... Like, he's turned on by all of these tall women.
Do you know the first thing that came to mind? It's something I never understood until I was watching this. Because of the way he's turned on. So did you ever see on Twitter, like, they'll do those things where they're like, Pornhub, the most popular in each state or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, like... Pennsylvania, I saw one. It's giantess, like female giant. Female,
what?
Large females. Yes, giantess, it's called. And like when I was watching this, I was like, Dwight's from Pennsylvania. I was like, holy shit, those Twitter Pornhub things. Look
at
those.
Oh my God.
So like just the way he did that Grinch smile when he's like, Amazon. Just the complete opposite of Angela.
Well, because I think he wants a robust woman to bear his children.
That's right, and to work the plow.
Yeah.
So Ryan comes back in line with them, and he's just like, this place, he's like, we have to have women, they're chicks, they don't want us
in there. Yeah, the guy I know isn't working. Yeah.
So Dwight's like, hold on, we'll get them. So they get, like, each guy has, like, three of the Amazonian basketball players on there. And Dwight turns around, because that Troy guy, and he just goes, don't step on him.
Don't step on him, like, three or four with him.
It's fucking great.
But the basketball player almost does step on
him. Yeah, he's so small. Oh, but, like, they all go into the club, and, like, you know, it's great. It's great shit.
Mm-hmm.
So now we go back, and they're in the parking lot now, and Toby finds a football. And he tells Pam he'll teach her how to throw it. Toby's creeper vibes are so great in this episode.
He's like, hey, Pam, look at the football. Look what I found.
He's just mumbling. So Pam goes like, I know how to throw a football. And she takes it. And Andy goes deep.
Yep.
And she fucking brains Mary.
Yo.
Like, I know it was probably a gimmicked football or something, but like, whoosh.
It sounded hard.
It was great. It's like the whole Marsha Brady thing. It was fucking great. And Meredith like has a concussion now.
She's like, oh my God.
And of course everybody's just like, Pam, like, Her and Jim fucked up again. Now, this is an underrated part of this episode, because they're always, like, portrayed as, like, perfect and everything.
Yeah.
They fuck up so hard in this episode.
Oh, my, it's amazing. And they don't know what to do. They're just like,
yeah, because they never, like, say anything after they fuck up.
They just look at each other like, what is going on?
They're not used to it.
Yeah.
So everyone hates them more, basically. So now the b-ball team, everybody's in the club, and Dwight gets a drink, and it turns out it's from the basketball team,
mm-hmm.
and he looks at them and dumps it out and says, you know, nuh-uh, you're not getting me this time. Like,
yeah.
it's poison.
Well, he's like, you never know what could be in there.
It's fucking like, arsenic.
Do you think they're going to fucking, like, roofie you, Dwight?
He would prefer that.
Probably.
So Michael talks with a woman, and he tells her he's a bank teller because Ryan told him to pick up chicks that you have to tell them you work in finance.
Yep. Always tell women you work in finance.
So she goes away to the powder room. And Michael sees Dwight with one of the basketball players. They're making out hard,
yo,
heavy, eating face.
Shit.
Like high schoolers. And Dwight's like, the best part is Dwight's sitting in like this leather chair, like this wingback chair. It's really awesome. And like they're just making out. Michael takes a picture on his flip phone.
This has to be seen or shared.
That's what he says. Yeah, this has to be shared. So everybody in the office is waiting for the security guy still, and their phones go off at the same time, and they all look, and it's just like audible disgust.
Everybody just goes, oh my God, that's just wrong.
So Michael tells Ryan about the woman, and he's like really enamored with her. And Ryan's talking about nuclear holocaust.
Oh, my God.
And, like, jungle survival and shit. Oh, it's so great. And Michael's just like, yeah, all right. And he turns around and he sees her with another guy. Mm-hmm. And then he gets all clammy, like, oh. Yeah. He just turns back to Ryan.
He turns into Jim in season one anytime Roy's around.
That's right. He just shuts down.
Eeyore.
So we go back to the office and Jim calls the security guard back and he still hasn't left. And he's
putting my socks on.
He's taking his good old time. And now back to New York. Ryan is, like, rambunctious. He's, like, a fucking insane top out on the dance floor.
He looks like a kid with ADHD.
And he's running around causing a ruckus. A bunch of women tackle him and kick him to the ground. So we cut, and then Pam is back at the office. They're all sitting in the vestibule again. And Pam jokes about how Mike would have had an elaborate theme if they were working on Saturday.
Scrambled Egg Saturday.
Yeah. And Toby cracks off a joke. Get your boss laid Saturday. And everybody's like, oh, they're all laughing. And Toby's like, ah, and he puts his hand on Pam's thigh.
And then rubs his thumb across her knee.
Yeah, there's like this, the movement of the phalange. And everybody stops. And I love they pan and everybody's staring at it. Everyone's uncomfortable.
And Jim and Pam are just like, Jim's just
staring at it like, the fuck? And like, it gets really fucking awkward.
Yeah.
And Toby removes his hand. He knows. He just goes, I have an announcement to make. I've wanted to do it for a long time. I'm moving to Costa Rica.
But then he puts his hand back, like he, like, I don't know, like knuckles? Like fists her knee?
Don't say fists.
Sorry.
He taps her knee. I hit that fucking thing. Okay. He taps her knee, and then he just goes, you know, I'm going to run, jump the fence and run home. And we see him get up, bolt out the door.
Yeah.
He jumps the 12-foot-high fist in his trench coat and starts running.
Yeah.
Just takes off. And everybody's just like, that was fucked up.
Yeah. Even Creed is like, fuck?
Nobody says anything, though. So we go back to... We go back out and to New York, and Mike and Troy are like have Ryan. Each one of them has one of his shoulders. They're leading him out.
Wait, you missed a pivotal part of when Ryan was getting beat up by these women.
Oh.
Michael was on the phone with his mother saying, well, I don't know, Mom. Yeah, I danced with women. I don't know how to talk. Like,
he's a 40-year-old man at the club.
He's talking to his mom.
It's so great.
It's amazing. And then he goes, oh, Mom, hang on. One of my friends getting beat up by girls. I have to go.
Yeah, he just fucking runs to Ryan's safety. So they're leading him out. It's Troy and Mike. And they get him outside. And Troy just lets go. He goes in front. He goes, don't take him to a hospital. And runs. And his little legs. And this is the key part of the episode. This is the best part. As he's like scurrying away. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even running. He's scurrying. Michael just looks at the camera. He goes, that's pretty weird. And that's so fucking great. It's just weird. Like, I think we've all had kind of those nights where we went out and something weird like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what this is.
Oh, my God. Don't take him to a hospital.
So, Dwight is leaving now. He's behind them. And the one basketball player is hanging off him.
Yeah.
She's like, no, Dwight, come on, stay, please.
Why do you have to go with them?
Yeah, and he's like, no, I'll call you. And then he turns around to Mike and goes, I won't call her. It's so great.
Thank God.
So the cleaning crew arrives in Scranton, and
Jim immediately pops up. Oscar, cleaning people.
Yes. And Oscar's like, how do you know they speak Spanish? She's like, well, what if they do? So they go down there, and Oscar's like, excuse me, we're locked in. We need to get out. And they just stare at him blankly, and he just goes, you know, I don't know what
he says something in Spanish.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And he goes, they happen to speak Spanish.
Jim's like, good call.
Yeah. Yeah, good thing we have you then, huh?
So we go back, and we're in New York, and Mike and Dwight are at Ryan's apartment, which is not as luxurious as you would expect.
I think it's as big as this room.
It's tiny. It's got the bed right next to the door. Yeah. It's kind of like Mr. Bean's apartment from the Christmas episode.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Bean.
So they lay Ryan on the bed. Dwight starts singing a German lullaby.
Yeah, which I can only imagine what he's actually saying.
And Mike offers to take his clothes off.
He's like, all right, Ryan, we're going to take your clothes off.
And Ryan like steps there's like, no, no, guys. And then he like calms down and goes, I think my friend Troy has a drug problem. What should he do? And Mike starts off with like, you know, he starts off well, like, you're going to tell him you're going to be there for him. You're going to get through this. And then he just starts talking about The Wire, show, like the undercover cops and snitches and shit like that. So we get a talking head where Dwight and Ryan are passed out on the bed sleeping. And Michael is like whispering and he goes, how could I be lonely with my boys? And then the ending of the show is the security guard showing up, the gates open, nobody's there, the cleaning crew is washing the windows, and he just goes, son of a bitch.
They couldn't even think enough
to call him. Yeah, Jim fucked up one final time in the episode.
God damn it, Jim.
So what did you give this episode?
So I gave it a 3.4. I thought it was a solid up. No, it's solid. It made me laugh. Toby's creep factor.
It's awesome.
Maybe I underestimated that a little bit, but like rereading it, I laughed a lot more than I did watching the episode.
Really? So yeah. What was? Okay.
But I mean, it was solid. I thought it was like not the most amazing thing I've ever watched, but it was not bad.
I gave it 4.3. I thought it was awesome.
You just love drugged out Ryan.
Drugged out Ryan,
nuclear holocaust.
Drugged out Ryan, because I mean, listen. I've been at those places where you've met those people. There was one dude who was at a bar with me one night foaming at the mouth, talking about the weirdest shit. And, like, those people, they're in need of help.
Yeah.
But I'll be damned if they're not fucking entertaining. And Ryan, like, doing this shit. And, like, not only that, but, like, the Troy character. Because I don't know.
Financial wizard. No, a hobbit.
I probably told you this story, but, like, there was one time. Now, everybody, Mary's husband is in a band.
He is.
He's a rock star.
We've talked about that before.
And one time they were playing a show, and I attended with a girl I was dating at the time. And one of the preliminary bands before them, they had a drummer who was like 5 feet tall. And he's kind of like Troy. And I remember the girl I was with, because she was an Office fan, just said something about him being on the Shire. And she like met him. And I was just like, I didn't get it at the time, but then, like, I went back, like, watching this episode a few years ago, I was like, oh, shit, he was a fucking hobbit! Oh, my God! And, like, the Troy character is just, and then the way he scurries away, and Michael's like, that's weird.
That's weird.
Like, and Dwight, this is when Dwight's at his best as a supporting character.
Yeah.
When Dwight is too much in the episode, it overwhelms.
Yeah.
Because it's too much, like, zaniness, and, like, you can't base
him. Fucking weird.
He's too not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's too eccentric.
Yeah.
Where he fits in. He's like the janitor from Scrubs.
Yep.
Like, he fits in with the story.
It's
like,
great.
It's fun to have him, but
to
like,
have him be...
Yeah, you can't overdose it.
Yeah.
And Dwight was, like, perfect in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Michael wasn't an idiot.
Yeah, I'll call you. I'm not gonna call her.
Yeah, he was, like, a player in this episode. And, like, Michael wasn't, a lunatic in this episode. He was just... It was just kind of, like...
Ryan was the lunatic.
Yeah, well...
How's my favorite branch doing?
But, like, everybody, like... This was a fun episode. I think it was.
No, it was.
Good.
It was.
It didn't have like the crazy, like that one. I always talk about like what makes a 5-star is like there's that one punch.
Yeah.
There's always a punch there that like puts it over the edge and you're like, this is an elite episode.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have that one big punch, but it was close. And like this is more, I feel like this episode should have replaced the Chair Girl episode. Because this is this is how Michael really would have rebounded. Going to a club to try and meet women. Not like.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I feel like this would have been a great
moved
follow-up.
This up. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because this was awesome. This was great shit. But I mean, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything else?
Toby's moving to Costa Rica in his 40s.
Oh, so great.
His 40s. Yes. Like,
but he's been thinking about it a long time. Yeah. I almost feel like...
And he has like a 6-year-old.
The best part about it is he hasn't been thinking about it for a long time, but he crossed the Rubicon and touched Pam, yeah. And everybody knows it, and he's like, ugh. I have to run away.
Yeah, like there's no other option.
Like when Michael jumped on the train a few weeks back. Like that, Toby's literally going to fly to Costa Rica and change his life.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's a good episode.
It was solid.
A lot 100%. Better than what we ended last week with.
God, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I feel like this week was a lot stronger than last week.
Oh, yeah, these two episodes were a lot better. Yeah. I was happy with
Dinner Party can only carry it so far, last week.
All right. So, that was like a 1 in a 5. I hope we don't have many weeks like that.
Me too.
But, so next, what do we got? We got episode 12 of season 4.
Yes. Did I Stutter? And that's coming up right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And thanks for joining us here at the halftime portion of the show. This is a part of the show where we put ourselves over as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. And right now we're going to start telling you what's going on over at the Pop Feed as the Hard Traveling Fanboys begin Arrow Month with a countdown of the top 5 episodes in the show's 8-season run. You ever watch it?
I did watch Arrow, actually.
What is that?
It's another Marvel movie.
Is he like
TV show?
Who's Arrow?
Yeah.
That's the name of the character?
Yeah, Oliver. I can't remember what his last name
Humperdinck.
Was it?
No. I don't even know what Arrow is.
No, but basically, when he was a kid, he...
Is it the Flash? Like, is it a name for another character?
Arrow is the character's name.
Okay.
He does a lot of things with a bow and arrow.
So he's like an archer.
Yeah.
Archer, I guess, was already taken.
Yeah.
So this week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. And the first week of the playoffs were awesome. Every game was close. There was 2 overtime games. I was at my buddy's house on Saturday night, and we drank and were merry when the Patriots went down.
Can I tell you, my husband and I went out on Saturday night, mm-hmm. and... we don't watch sports, my husband and
I. You guys aren't sporty,
though. We are not sports people. But so we're out, and the games were on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, he's in the middle of saying something, and there's this eruption of cheers. She's like, oh, oh, my God! Blah, 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 blah. Like, people were fucking cheering. And he's like, what the fuck just happened? And now I had been glancing, because as we've talked about before, we pick our teams and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I had been glancing at the TV, and I was like, well... You see, the Patriots are the most hated team in NFL history, and they were just down by 1, and they have like 10 seconds, I think.
Yeah,
left,
Tennessee
nine
got
seconds,
the pick 6.
And they got an interception, and the other team got a touchdown. So they're now up by 8 points, and they cannot physically win this game at all now.
Yeah, it was good.
And he's just like, I don't understand anything you said, but okay.
You know, there's a lot of guys who are into sports who just heard a woman talk like that, and they all just went, huh? They just went, wait, is she on...
Real?
What is the...
Grinder.
Tinder. Grinder, Jesus Christ. You know, there's funny because there was a wrestler who he came back and he had this manager and they were doing the thing like, we're on Twitter and Tumblr and Grindr. And it was an older guy. I don't think he knew what he was saying.
But he was just saying Urs. Oh, all the Urs.
Fucking hilarious. But another weekly show in Place to Be Nation. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother-Sister Rewatch.
Flop, flop, flop.
That's right. On the newest Diamond Conversations, the 9th episode features a chat with Ben Smith of the Midwest Box Breaks, a sports trading cards box and case breaks business. Keep a lookout for a promo code for Midwest Box Breaks inside the episode as a thank you for listening. And Jesus Christ, Box Breaks.
What is Box Breaks?
I think, okay, if I'm not mistaken, I think what this is, and I'm not certain, I'm just guessing. So when I worked retail, there would be like two Saturday mornings a year at 8 a.m. People would come to the toy department, and we would hand out raffle tickets, and we'd get new cases of the new Hot Wheels cars that were being released for the season. And they would, like, we'd raffle and pick, and whoever got to open up the case and pick out what they wanted.
Oh.
I think it's collectors, like, the cases, you open them, and, like, you raffle off who gets what or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. All I know is that the sentence, Ben Smith of Midwest Box Breaks, a sports trading cards box and case breaks business, keep a lookout for a promo code for Midwest Box Breaks inside an episode. Like, that was like
that's
Dr. Seuss. That was like Fox and Box and Knox and Soxer.
Right.
So, another weekly show is the
Big
newest...
Bear, Beautiful Baboon.
No, Blue Ox, Beautiful Baboon, and... No, no.
Riding Bicycles.
No, Blowing
biking
Bubbles.
Backwards.
Beautiful Baboon and Blue Ox, Blowing Bubbles, Biking Backwards, Buster Bugles, Bagpipe Band Bus. That
something was, like that.
Well, that was a book we read when we were kids. Yeah. So, the newest weekly show on Place to Be Nation is Mike Claus and Greg Diener. I hope I'm saying that right. Present a focus on obscure and or misguided television content. In episode 0, they introduce themselves and preview the first official installment of It Was a Thing on TV.
Ooh.
Which sounds awesome.
That does sound really awesome.
Failed television ideas is up my alley. So, there's also the Glenn Butler Hour podcast Spectacular. Glenn and Scott finished their examination of the Star Wars franchise's music with a review of John Williams' The Rise of Skywalker score. And I talked to our brother about this. I don't know if you've spoken to him.
Mm-mm.
So the other day, I haven't seen the new Star Wars. I'm going to get there, but like, I was.
No.
Hold on. I've worked like a mad dog. I was in Florida. I haven't had the chance to see it.
No,
I'll get there.
I wasn't going
to
give you shit.
Oh, okay, because it sounded like you were.
No. Okay. I love Star Wars. I did my best to stay away from Facebook spoilers. To stay away from everything. I barely watched the trailers, only when forced. Yeah. Like, I did everything I could to preserve this last Star Wars, seeing it in the theaters, probably of my, like, lifetime.
No,
like,
they're gonna
no, of
more.
This, but of this saga, I mean. Like,
no.
Of the Star Wars, or the Skywalker saga, this is the last time I'm going to be able to go into a theater and see Luke and Leia Skywalker on the big screen.
Okay.
Right? I'm a purist.
Okay. That's
so
good. That's noble.
I had to wait because my husband had a very busy work schedule, so we didn't go until like December 29th or something.
So
like,
a week later.
It was a week later, yeah. Which in now social media world is like a month later. It might as well because the fucking spoilers were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Avoided everything at all costs. We get our tickets. We walk into the theater and we're all like, okay, we're going to go to the bathroom. Then we're going to go inside and sit down. As we're outside of our fucking theater, three douche nozzles.
Just go, yeah, just speak
walk
your mind.
Over, and they go, oh, so, and they reveal the biggest plot point in the fucking film.
Well,
what Rey has been searching for three fucking movies. They just say it, and I just turn around and I go, really? Really?
Did you yell at them?
I said, really? And they just scurried away. I was so
like Troy.
Pissed.
I had a moment like that, too.
I was so mad.
That's what I was going to get to. I forgot that happened to you.
Ugh.
So last week, it was Friday, I think, I was scanning the Facebook and I was just like looking at shit. And there was an article that came up about Ian McDiarmid, he played Palpatine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's like he talks about his time on Star Wars. I'm like, oh, he's going to like talk about the prequels. And I go in and like, I swear to God, like one of the first things is like, they revealed a big spoiler.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was no, like, spoiler alert or anything. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
And, like, now I know where it goes, which kind of colors my lens of what I'm going into.
Yeah.
And, like, I even said to our brother, because, like, he's seen it three times.
Yeah,
he has. I was like, okay, so I was reading an article and it totally spoiled, like, the big thing in the movie.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, then that just, like, went off on screen. I was like, fuck J.J. Abrams. I just, like, went off on a big thing. But I digress. If you want to hear about...
Don't fucking spoil movies. Like, if it's a big
movie... If you're
movie,
in the theater, you should... Yeah. That should be the number one rule.
Wait,
if you're,
till you're in the parking lot, at least,
yeah,
dude.
If you're in the theater and there's people going around you into theaters, you don't talk about
that.
And
I'm sorry, but we went to a Cinemark where I think out of 20 theaters, like 15 of them were for Star Wars.
Yeah, you know you're getting the Star Wars fans.
Like, you are the worst kind of person and deserve to go into the deepest pit of hell.
I'm in hell!
No, that makes me the devil! You're the worst kind of person, and I hope, like, you get bed bugs.
Oh, shit. That's harsh.
So, I was so pissed.
So, if you guys would like to learn more about the music scores of John Williams' Rise of the Skywalkers, check out Glenn Butler's show. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gyms, Body Press Your Luck, and much more. Subscribe today. And, while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out, Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in round one. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like all the like the tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. There's been some good ones, like Frasier,
yeah,
fucking steamrolled somebody, Night Court was going. There were some good ones. And today there was one where I think Daria beat a shitty show, which made me happy. Sex and the City lost.
Good.
They got upset in the first round, and I was very happy about that.
Like, I don't mind that show, but I feel like a lot of people give it a way more
credit. It's way overblown.
Yeah.
Way overblown for what it is. So, we have officially kicked off the 2020 stretch project determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. If you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Mm-hmm. So, getting my breath back. That WCW match project, that is going to be one that I don't know. I'm acquainted. I don't know if I can come up with 100 best matches. I guess I have a year to balance work, podcasting, a relationship, and watching old wrestling matches.
Oh, God.
I might get our brother in on that. Me and him started watching all the pay-per-views from 95, and we're in mid-99.
He does have his wedding and honeymoon to deal with this year as well.
Are you kidding? Please. He'll be fine. He'll be putting up, like, fucking Ric Flair versus Raven matches. It's going to be awesome. So, that brings us to ourselves. Mary, why don't you put us over?
Absolutely. So, guys, we like to keep it funky and fresh over on our Twitter feed.
Funky.
You can always reach out to us at Barossa's Podcast. We, like to keep you all entertained.
Yeah, we'll post pictures. I made a very derogatory Star Wars post the other day.
Yo, fuck that guy.
How hilarious.
Fuck that guy. He's never been late in his life.
I thought you were going to say fuck me. No,
I
was
totally
a dick,
fine
right?
with that because you were being snarky.
That guy was a real
I
dick.
I support. Yeah, no, that guy. You can't put limitations on fandom. Everybody's a fan in their own right.
Yeah. Like, this guy's like, you have to read the source material and the graphic novels.
The source
novels.
Material that came out of fucking George Lucas's mind, yeah. Then he just franchised everything.
When that guy put that, you're not a real Star Wars fan unless you're in Star Wars discussion groups, just call it a fucking circle jerk. Okay?
Seriously.
Like, come on. Like, I'm not going to spend 5 hours of my life talking about IG-88, the bounty
hunter
droid.
Reading the comics. Like, no, I can enjoy it,
I grew up with this shit. Yeah. I had all the books. I had fucking Beanie Babies. I had the toys. I watched the movies religiously.
Oh, I did like that book. That our dad had a book that had all the different kinds of aliens.
That was mine. I bought that at a Walden Books in New Jersey.
Wow.
I could tell that.
Walden.
I'm just saying.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Walden Books. I bought that. It was all the Star Wars characters. And it wasn't just the movie guys either. It was like the graphic novels and comic books and that. Like, come
and
on.
Like our brothers. I mean,
just because you're a virgin doesn't mean you're a real fan. Just because you don't know the tender touch of a woman doesn't make you
just
a real fan.
Just because you have nothing else in your life that you've put all of your energy into that doesn't make you the number one fan.
Fucking neckbeard. Going hard on them right now.
You know,
it was just a really pompous post.
You know what, though? Because those fucking douchebags that ruined the movie for me are probably the ones in the fucking discussion group, so fuck them.
We're turning into, like, those guys who sit around a diner in Boston. Oh, fuck you, you prick! Oh, they had the fucking snow coming down,
I thought you were gonna say the guys from the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're being very foul-mouthed. Being very egregious.
We
right
definitely
now.
Need the explicit.
Explicit.
So, explicit.
All right.
Marker today.
You got to talk. Right. You got to talk a lot.
Yeah.
Because we are doing episode 12 of season 4. Did I stutter?
Yes. But let's not forget that you guys can also reach out to us at thebrothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And Twitter at BroSaysPodcast. You already said that. But
I did.
Send us feedback. We'll read it on the show. We'll be happy to get, you know, comment on it and have a
dialogue.
Let
us know what your thoughts are on Star Wars discussion boards.
Or if you have more to say about the dinner party.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to, you know, take some lumps. That's fine.
You know what, though? Honestly, it would be really fun if we can get some people to tell us your stories if something was ruined for you.
Oh, yeah. Yo, share that. If a spoiler came out of nowhere and fucked up a movie experience or a television experience.
Or a book.
If you were, like, wanting to watch Breaking Bad and something fucked up. Yo, let us know. Let us know if somebody spoiled something for you.
Let me know.
I'd
I'm
be
not
happy.
Alone in this anger that
I would
I
be
feel.
Happy to commiserate with you folks, honestly. So.
All right, now on to season 4, episode 12, Did I Stutter? We have our cold open. Michael runs into the office and he's asking everybody, I need your ideas, I need your ideas. It turns out that there is wet cement outside and he needs an idea of what to put into it because this is going to basically commemorate Michael Scott
life.
At Dunder Mifflin. Mm-hmm. And Phyllis is like, well,
she's so fucking folksy.
And Michael's like, okay. And she goes, when I was a little girl,
she giggles.
She hissed at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And she's like, oh, what did we write? Yeah. Like, she couldn't even remember. And then Andy says to draw a picture because it's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, it says so much more than words.
Kelly says something about Will Smith at the Chinese theater, and then Pam translates when they put the hands into the cement.
Michael loves it.
Michael does love it. And Jim, of course, ups the ante and says, you should put your face in it.
I love it even more!
Yeah. Like, so then we go outside. Michael has plastic wrap around his hair with a rubber band and two straws.
Yes, one coming out each side of his mouth.
And Dwight is liberally applying Vaseline to his face.
Just slathering him in grease.
And, like, Jim says something, like, he's just being snarky.
Yeah, like the mock.
We are here to commemorate, blah, blah, blah. And Dwight is forcing Michael's face into the cement, and he goes, force it in as deep as you can. And you just hear a garble, that's what she says from Michael. So, that's our cold open.
It's good.
Was a good one. I enjoyed it. So then we open up the show, and Andy and Angela are playing Mad Libs in the kitchen. And it basically,
it's as scintillating
Angela,
as you would think.
Yeah, Angela only uses the words nice and tall
to describe the man.
And I love this talking head of Dwight, though, because Dwight, he goes, Angela and Andy seem very happy. I hope nothing horrible happens to them.
Like, and he does like that knowing glance, like, I might use a chainsaw. Like,
like, what the fuck is Dwight going to do? I hope nothing horrible happens. Not like, I hope something doesn't happen. I hope something horrible doesn't happen.
I hope that his brake lines don't cut and there's a fiery crash.
Right? So then we go outside to the rest of the office and we see Pam is wearing especially thick glasses.
She looks like Dee Dee from Rugrats,
the mom.
Oh, my
God.
You know what I mean? Doesn't
Jesus
she?
Christ.
With like, the red hair and those like, funky glasses.
Yes. And she explains that she slept over at a friend's and she forgot her contact solution.
A friend?
Yeah, so she has to wear her backup glasses.
Yeah.
Michael walks out of his office and just, like, straight up is just like, oh my God, you're so ugly.
Yeah, he just uses that. He just calls her ugly.
He's like, you're supposed to take, to get hot, you're supposed to take the glasses off, Pam.
He watched a lot of those Freddie Prinze Jr. movies. Oh my God,
yeah. She's all that. And then she starts to try to explain to him and he goes, I can't hear you. All I hear is noise.
Coming out of an ugly scientist.
Christ.
So great.
So then we're in the Michael announces that they're having a brainstorming session in the conference room. He's looking to energize the office. Now, Jim is... He's basically baiting Pam with another, like, fake proposal thing, which is, like, kind of cute.
You know what energized me? If you, Pamela... What's her middle name? Oh, he says her middle name. He goes, Pamela something Beasley. If you would... She's like, don't do it.
Don't do it in a Michael meeting. I will say no.
He goes, if you would get me a cup of coffee, that would energize me greatly.
Exactly.
And she's just like, oh, Jim. I can't stay mad at you. But
so now Michael is still talking about energizing people, and he's actually, like, he's trying to motivate the office, which is...
Actually,
I'm
good.
Really good with
it's
that.
It's actually decent managing, to be honest.
And Andy's like, oh, why don't we do a new outbound call that has more zing and pep? Which, of course, Jim's like, ah, another newer one with more zing and more pep. And Andy just looks at him.
Like tuna.
And Michael's like, I love it.
Yeah, we're cooking now. We're cooking. Yep.
So then Michael tries to get Stanley to, like, participate. And Stanley's sitting there with his crossword puzzle. And Michael's like, come on, Stanley, what do you think? And he goes, no. And Michael's just like, come on, Stanley, like, da, da, da. And he goes, no, Michael, I'm not going to say anything. And Michael continues to bait him. And all of a sudden, hold on.
Before the big one, he says something like, leave me the hell alone. Or like, I don't give a damn. Like, it was actually pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like, he actually swore.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a damn. Leave me the hell alone. And Michael's like, come on, Stanley, come on. And he goes, did I stutter? And
everybody's earbuds just exploded.
Sorry. I tried to lean back as far as I could, guys.
It was good.
Apologies.
It was very, very, very aggressive.
But everybody's just silent.
Yeah, they're all very uneasy.
And they look like the camera pans to Stanley, and then it focuses on Toby, who's sitting right behind him. And Michael's like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Get a glass of water.
And he leaves the room. So now everybody's back in their desk, and Michael's in his office, and Toby walks in. And he's basically like, listen, Michael, like, you need to address Stanley's insubordination. He was openly insubordinate to you.
This is, I realized in this scene, this is like the picture of Toby you see everywhere. Like that head with like the half closed eyes where he kind of looks like a tortoise.
Yes.
Like this is like that famous image of Toby.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Michael actually tries to defend Stanley, saying like, no, we're friends. We're just joking around. Stanley is a beautiful, sassy, powerful black man. And
Michael's example of how people joke
is
absolutely hilarious. He's like, ha ha ha, your mom just died.
Yeah. The fuck? He's like, that's what it would be like if you had friends, you'd understand. You're so white, Toby.
Yeah, he does. He calls Toby white. Oh, shit.
So, Andy is...
Toby tells Michael, because Michael says his stomach hurts or something like that.
Yeah.
Toby's like, my daughter gets that when there's a mean girl at school, her tummy hurts.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, well, maybe it's a physical reaction to you, Toby.
Yeah.
I love it.
There is so much Toby bashing in that moment, I couldn't get it all down.
It's awesome.
So then... Andy has a poster hanging up in the kitchen. He's trying to sell his Xterra. And then we see like a montage. Not a montage, but like a voiceover of Andy talking about his Xterra, saying like, oh, women always have Xterras. Like you meet a lot of women by driving one, blah, blah, blah. And Dwight is inspecting the car and he goes, scratch. And Andy goes, racing stripe. And, like, he's just pointing out all of these things that's wrong with the car.
That aren't really even wrong.
That aren't,
it's like the bumper's falling off.
Yeah, the bumper's drooping. I don't think it is. But he basically, like, intimidates Andy and
gets
speaks
in his
really
face.
Quickly. And he's like, you will sell this car to me for $1,500 less than you want.
Almost like a Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, he's like, you will do it now. Do it now. 5, 4, 3, 2. Yes, you will sell it to me.
I love how when Andy doesn't do it, he just keeps counting down over and over until he says
Andy's
yes.
like, like, I want to think about it a little bit. Like, I want to think about it. And he's just like, fine. Okay. Yes. Sold. So I think Andy was asking like for $8,700.
It was $8,700. Yeah.
So Dwight essentially got this for $7,200.
Yep.
And it was a 2001.
7-year-old car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little expensive.
I'm not sure what Xterras are like. I never drove one. Actually, I did drive one. It was a Stranger's. I'll tell you that story off
one day
off the cast.
One day. Anyway, that's not ominous. So then we go back, and Michael walks over to Stanley, and he's just like, "Listen, Stanley, like I know we're friends. That's why I don't need you to apologize to me because I know we're cool." And Stanley's like, "I'm not going to apologize to you.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen."
Just lays it out.
And then in a talking head, Stanley says, "Just like I told my wife, I only apologize when I think I've done something wrong, and I don't think I have. And I'll say that to, I said it to the first, I say it to my current, and I'll probably say it to my next wife." Oh. All right, Stanley.
You nailed it.
All right. So now we have Dwight and Michael are reviewing the office org chart, and I just love how he's like, Jim is over Stanley, but only in sales. Mm-hmm. He goes, and then there's this yellow line, the zigzag line, that Ryan could discipline Stanley, but then, ergo, the zig around you because it makes you appear weak.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's yellow, the
it's
color
yellow
of cowardice.
Coward. And then Michael goes, "What's the pink for?" And he goes, "Menstrual cycles."
Yeah, he has all the women
the
linked
fuck.
Up. He has the women linked up by menstrual cycles.
What the fuck?
That was so awesome. Because Michael's just like, "Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea."
Obviously. Who wouldn't do that?
So great.
And then Dwight introduces the emergency disaster code. And he flips over this clear line, which Dwight is in charge of everybody in the office. And Michael's like, "I never said you could do that."
The emergency powers.
Yeah. He's like, "I never said that you could do that at all." And so Dwight, again, tries his intimidation trick. "You will give me power. I promise I'll give it right back. You will give me power. You will give me power. Five, four, three. And he goes, "No." And he's like, "Oh, all right. Then you have to deal with it yourself." And he walks out. So now Kevin walks over to Pam.
This is awesome.
And he compliments Pam on her glasses and says, "You know, glasses have always been a turn-on for me, like a librarian." And he goes, "Can you just say, these are due back on Thursday?" And she goes, "No. No." And then she takes her glasses off, and it literally looks like she's blind. Like, Jim is watching her.
Yeah.
The phone rings, and she's like,
she can't find the phone. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then she goes to write something down, and like,
it's like, yeah, her face is on the fucking page.
Exactly. And then we get a talking out of Creed, and he goes, "A lot of jazz cats are blind. They can play the piano good, though. I would love to see Pam play the piano. I'd also love to see Pam topless." Daily dose of Creed right there. Amazing. So now we see Daryl sitting in his office down in the warehouse, and Michael walks in. He goes, "Hey, Daryl, you busy?" And he goes, "Or you got a minute?" or something like that. And he goes, "I can't, Michael. I'm very busy." As she's playing with a Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's.
Rubric.
Rubric's.
Rubric is like in college. You get a rubric.
A oh, Rubik's my God.
Cube.
I knew that was somewhere.
Yeah, you just, that just
somewhere
came
in
out,
my mind.
Came out deep.
Yeah, it did. Wow, I haven't been in college in like 6 years. That's very deep.
Six. Being generous.
No, 2013 I graduated.
What year is it, Mary?
Okay, it's 2020 now, but I graduated in December of 2013, so...
All right.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. That's it. Brotherly love. Fuck you. All right. Anyway.
So now, Michael asks for advice on gangs from Daryl. And asks
so
if Daryl
awesome.
Was ever in a gang, and he goes... Of course, Daryl. I feel like Daryl and Jim are on the same
page looks
when it
at
comes
the camera.
To, yeah, like, when it comes to, like, pranking Michael, though, he's like, "Yeah, I was in a gang." And Michael goes, "Oh, Bloods or Crips?" And he goes, "Both. And the Latin Kings. And the Newsies.
The Warriors.
The Warriors."
So do you know what the News is?
The Newsies is a, from what I know, it's a musical that Disney did.
A musical. Homeless New York City newsboy Jack Cowboy Kelly, played by Christian Bale, befriends two newcomers to his trade, brothers David and Les Jacobs. When publisher Joseph Pulitzer sets new rules that make it harder for the young newspaper salesman to make a buck, the boys go on strike.
Oh, my God.
Daryl's a newsie.
He's a newsie.
That's so awesome.
God. So Michael asked Daryl, "You know, if you're out in the street and a gang member disses you, what do you do?" And he goes, "Oh, man, he gets up in your face." Well, we have a thing called fluffy fingers. And Michael's like, fluffy fingers? What is that? And he says, it's when you start tickling them and they tickle you until you laugh together. And then you forget what happened.
And you hug it out.
Then you hug it out and you go see a movie together or something.
And get an ice cream cone.
Yeah, get an ice cream cone. And Michael's like, wow, I never thought gangs would tickle each other. He buys it.
He totally buys
God.
It. God. Yeah, he got sold. That was good.
He did. So, now, Kevin, I'm sure you're probably happy about what happened next. Ryan yes. shows up. And we see him in a convertible outside. Yep. And we're looking at him through the windows. He parks, takes his sunglasses off, looks in the mirror. And it's almost as if, like, he blows a kiss at himself in the mirror. Like, that's the machismo that's coming
so
off of him.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So now Ryan and Toby are in the conference room, and Jim is walking by, and Ryan, like, baits him in. He's like, Jim, I have a question. As an Eagles fan, how can you, like, stand to be blah, blah, blah on a wing and a prayer is what yeah. Jim says. I don't know. Is that an Eagles fan saying on
well,
a wing
I mean,
and a prayer?
Well, I mean, they are Eagles. They have wings.
But that's what I mean. Like, so
I think that's
know.
Just Jim trying to be, like, office chit-chat.
Oh, like, yeah. tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Yeah. So, he's just like, oh, all right, my dude. By the way, since I have you and Toby here, I want to give you a formal warning on your job performance.
Yeah.
And Jim is totally taken
totally
off.
Totally blindsided,
he's
yeah.
like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, it's your job performance. I know how you spend time here. I know that you don't take your job seriously.
You know. Fuck around with Dwight. You're up at reception.
Yeah.
And then Jim goes like, well, can I ask, like, specifically? And he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and don't
back
get
off.
So...
don't get fired up, Jim.
Yeah.
So great.
And he's like, if you want the specifics, talk to Toby. And then we pan down to Toby, who's just sitting there, like, with his head in his hand. And then we get a talking head, and he goes, maybe all the time with Pam and goofing around with Pam at reception with Pam... finally coming back to him. And it's like, wow, Toby.
Toby's a dick. In the,
wow.
Now we're all on Michael's side.
You're right. It's like, now I understand. Now I get why Jim was like, wow, Toby, now I get it.
He's a little munch.
So then we get a voiceover. Well,
there's a thing where Jim goes out to his desk.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And Pam
yeah.
asks him, like,
oh,
what was that?
Ryan one?
He's like, oh, bureaucratic stuff. And she's like, oh, because you're important. And they smile. And then he turns and she starts like her, she gets serious like, oh, something is wrong.
Yeah.
But she's fucking blind.
Yes.
How can she see across to that? She's fucking blind. She couldn't find the phone 2 feet from
maybe
her.
Maybe just the way that he said it.
Yeah.
Pothole. Look at that. If Scott's upset, I know from the moment I see him, hear him, he's upset.
No, I would
if
know.
I'm on the phone with him.
No.
If your girlfriend, if you were on the phone with her, and you heard her voice. You couldn't tell.
I wasn't going to say you're wrong. I was just going to say the first tip off would be the decibel level of the car when he shows up at home. Blasting that music. That's how you know Scotty's home.
It's true. My office is right on the other side of the like the exterior wall from where he parks his car.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he ever realized it until one day he started up his car and like the music was already on. He came in to say goodbye to me. He's like, you can hear me from in here? I'm like, yeah, dude, I know when you get home. I know you sit in the car for 5 extra minutes. Like, you're listening to heavy metal blasting 3 feet away from me.
Like 5 miles away. It's like, oh, Scotty, man.
Oh, he's turning the corner to come into town. But anyway, so let's see. Where was... Oh, we have a montage of Daryl washing his Dwight washing his newly... purchased Xterra, but he's like, dude, dude.
Yeah, he's like doing mouth guitar.
Yeah.
Like, and but the thing is, he's sitting in doing a talking head and a wife beater.
Oh, so only a wife beater.
He's taking care of a car and washing it and wearing a beater in the workout. Jim's the one who gets the
formal warning. Right?
Dwight's like fucking around, like he no formal warning.
He's literally washing the Xterra with a bucket and sponge. Yeah, like, so you know that shit took longer than 5 minutes
in the Dunder Mifflin parking lot. Like, on work time. He's just fucking around.
So now, Andy sees the new poster, and Dwight is selling the Xterra at, like, almost $10,000.
Yeah, it's like $9,000.
Yeah. So he's, like, trying to make a $3,000 profit, essentially, here. Mm-hmm. More than that, probably. But, let's see. So Andy is upset, and he confronts Dwight, and he goes, you mean my Xterra? It's not... And Andy's like, yeah, dude, I gave you a deal. Why are you trying to flip it? And he goes... And basically, Dwight's like, not my problem if you didn't see the value in it. Yeah. And, like, Angela sees this, and Dwight's just like, oh, don't mind me. I'm on eBay with a three-way bidding war for my Xterra.
Dwight's the alpha dog.
Yes, he is, and he wanted to show it. So then Dwight is in a talking head, and he's like, I have a Mad Lib for you. The smart, strong Dwight outsmarted the stupid Andy. Like, and he just goes on about how he outsmarted Andy through this whole for this whole Mad Lib. Yeah. Which, if that's not passive aggressive, I don't know what it is. It's just aggressive, yeah. But like to read the Mad Lib.
Yeah, he's just like, and he's doing it so angry, like through his teeth. Stupid Andy.
I hope incapable Dwight. I hope nothing horrible happens. That
snort.
Just sticks
that's
in
a
my
snort.
Head.
That's a snort.
That is a snort. Sorry, guys. So then, Michael waits until Stanley leaves his desk to go to the bathroom, the kitchen, whatever, and he runs out to the office and he announces that he's going to fake fire Stanley. And everybody's like, dude, why? And they're like, Michael's like, to teach him a lesson.
And humility.
And they're like, Michael, you realize, like, if you didn't tell us this, we would have thought you were firing him for real. Because he's...
He would have got a real reaction.
Yeah, because he's like, you have to pretend like I am firing him. Like, I need you guys to react. And they're like, but... And Kevin is the one who's trying to explain this to him. He's like, he's coming back. Shut up.
Play it out.
Yeah. So he's like, Stanley, you're fired. Yo. Stanley...
Yeah.
Loses his shit.
He goes off.
He goes the fuck
off. It's
kind of
like that episode we had where he torched Ryan. Yeah.
Boy, did you lose your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
That's so great.
So he goes off and he threatens to sue them and tell them every stupid thing that he does. Yeah. And Michael's like, listen, it wasn't real. I just want to teach you some humility. and Stanley's like, so I'm not fired. And Michael's like, nope. And he goes the fuck off,
goes
again.
Off again.
If you could see steam come out of a human being's head, it would be in this moment. And he's just like, he finishes this entire, like, rampage over Michael. Like, you are an idiot every day. You do something stupider than the last. And da-da-da-da-da. And he finishes it with, you are a professional idiot. And Michael is like,
cracks.
He's visibly upset. And he goes, everybody out except for Stanley. And everybody's just, like, silent.
Yeah.
And they, like, all quietly gather their things and leave the office. And Pam's like, I can't find my glasses. And Jim's like, just hold on to me. Yeah,
he leads her out like a blind beggar.
Seriously.
Good God.
I'll get your coat. Come on. Just hold on to me. And Kevin is in the lobby of the building saying, it's a clash of the titans. In one corner, you have Michael, who's pissed. In the other corner, you have Stanley, who's also mad. And that's about it.
That's about it. That's all we got.
So now, Michael, finally, like, they're both just sitting there, and the camera creeps in from the annex. The other one comes in through the main office door, but they're not, like, near them, because they want this real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's got his arms crossed and his furrowed brow, and he goes, why are you pegging on me? And he's, like, crying. And basically, like, Stanley's like, listen, dude, I have no respect for you. Everything you would do, I would do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I literally have no respect for you.
That's how bros do it.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm proud of Michael in this moment.
Yeah.
Because he accepts it. He goes, listen, I accept that you don't respect me.
When has he ever done that?
And never.
That's growth of the character.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's like, but listen, you cannot respect, like, you cannot respect me, but you cannot act like that in the office in front of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanley's like, all right, I accept your terms. And they shake hands.
Yeah, and they go their ways. It was a really adult conversation.
It really was, which you weren't expecting from Michael, especially when his feelings were hurt and he was almost crying.
And you think he's going to try and win Stanley over even more.
Yeah, exactly. So now we have a talking head of Michael who literally says no respect, I think, 50 times in a 30-second talking head.
He does Rodney Dangerfield impression badly.
Then he turns into Jeff Foxworthy.
And then Borat.
And then he's just like, you know who doesn't get any respect? My wife. And grape nuts. And it's like...
Yeah, he turns into Seinfeld with
just,
the grape nuts.
Yeah, it's just horrible. And I'm so happy that was over.
That was like a 2-minute talking.
It really was.
It was awful.
It
was like, hey, Steve, we got 2 minutes.
But like, you could literally, like, he was pulling his collar. Like, yeah, I feel like Steve Carell was like, dude, I'm overdoing this. Like,
oh, he did. He
you're killing me. So then we're in another conference room meeting. And Michael is proposing the Summer Sales A Lot event. He's just saying shit. And he's like, Stanley, what do you think? And Stanley's like, has potential to be your best idea yet. And Phyllis laughs and she goes, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And Michael just looks and he goes, everybody out but Phyllis. So you already know, like, that's going to be his go-to
thing.
He has
a new bullet in the chamber.
Yep. And that's how we finished the episode. So, dude, what did you think?
3.6. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining, and I thought the character stuff was good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. You got a little bit more. You got a taste of the Jim and Pam kind of proposal type thing. So, I mean, the way they've – I think it was just three episodes in a row now, so they're kind of coming in the stretch run if they want to do it at the end of season four here. So that's something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Toby's a jackass.
Yo, Toby's so jealous of Jim right now. He's literally getting formal warnings written up about him.
The stuff with Daryl was funny.
Yeah.
Stanley's big explosion was good. Like, it was just
I stutter?
You know, it wasn't like knock your socks off, but it was a perfectly fine episode.
Yeah. And see, I gave it a 4.0.
Yeah.
Again, solid episode, but I feel like I laughed more during this episode than the previous.
Wow.
But here's the thing. All of the subplots, even the main plot line, all of them were good.
Yeah.
Dwight buying Andy's car, Dwight being upset about Angela, Jim and Ryan and Toby, like all of the subplots were good.
Yeah, they all tied
in. Not one of them was a weak link.
And they all kind of either built off of something or they set something up for the future. Yeah,
absolutely. Like I said, this was just super solid for me. I really enjoyed it.
My favorite line was when Stanley asked Michael if he was serious about firing him. He goes, I'm serious. Or, you're fired like a heart attack.
Yeah.
Not I'm like serious like a heart attack. But yeah. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I don't know if there's much else to touch on.
No, I think it was one of those episodes. Details are very good.
It was one of those like kind of standalone episodes.
Yeah.
Where it's not like Serial, where it's going to build and build and build.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, oh, this is one day when Stanley blew up and we're going to cover it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Those are fine. Like I said, I laughed. I was entertained. It was good.
But it still had a little bit of the carryover because of the... Jim and Toby.
Ryan. That's two episodes in a row, Ryan.
Jim and Ryan. Jim, I think. And Toby
being
jealous as fuck about Pam.
I liked it.
I liked it very much.
So next week. What's on the docket?
Closing out season four.
Already.
It's going to be a long one, guys. So buckle in because we have two episodes and a recap.
Okay. Well, I got to ask. Is the finale longer? It probably is, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Because
usually I have a feeling this finale is going to be more than the allotted 22 minutes, and it's my episode.
I was going to say, I do know what
the finale is. It's something I've talked about since our fucking trailer.
It's 42 minutes for the season finale.
Okay, that's my episode.
Yes.
And I know that one is Goodbye Toby.
It is.
Goodbye Toby. I can tell you right now, if it's one-fourth of what I remember, it's going to get 5. I'm just telling you right now, it's epic, it's great, it's awesome.
Episode 13, which I will be rehashing next week, is Job Fair.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we close out the season with episode 14. So, guys, if you have a long commute on a Monday.
Oh, yeah, get ready.
Put us in your back pocket because we got you covered.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It is.
And after the Goodbye Toby episode, we'll do the season 4 recap where we'll... I guess we'll tally up our scores, see what our rating was.
It was a short season. So.
It was nice. I wish it was more like this, because I'm not going to lie, I was looking ahead. I wasn't looking at like episodes or like titles or anything.
The
number.
Yeah,
and there's like
seasons
one with 28.
Are over 20.
It's like 28, 26, 25.
Yeah, of them are over 24 episodes going forward.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got 2020 to like run through these.
Yep.
We might. Who knows? It's only the beginning.
Thank God season 4 was short.
Yes. So we'll cover those next week. And like we said earlier in the intermission, if you want to reach out to us, it is brothersisterrewatch, all one word, @gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, it's @brosispodcast. We'll be happy to interact, shoot the shit with you. If you want to email the show, you have a question, comment, complaint, suggestion.
Tell us about a time somebody completely ruined your entire childhood.
Give us your spoiler stories, because I'm really interested in hearing how bad and savage it could get.
Seriously.
Honestly. I want to hear your reaction, too, if you punched a wall or a person.
I almost punched a person. Those boys are lucky that our parents and all of our siblings, except for you, were there.
I was gonna say I wasn't present.
You were the only one.
It was like a family
there.
Night out, right? Yeah. Like all the girlfriends and boyfriends. Yeah. And stuff. Wow. I'm kind of
happy.
You were
in Florida.
I know. I was. Oh, guys, I got so tan.
We got the entire back row to ourselves.
I went to Hulk Hogan's beach shop.
Oh my God.
I just want to throw that out there. I got a sweet ass fucking Hulkamania shirt. I'm wearing it presently.
I was just gonna say that's
breaking it in. This is the first wear.
It's very vibrant red.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. Anyway, guys, we'll be back next Monday with those episodes and the season 4 wrap up. And until then, we will catch you later.
Thanks, guys.